The word today is context. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. The Bible is God's Word to us, the message of how He sent Jesus to bring us salvation. Like any other message, if small segments or verses are used out of context, the message can be made unclear or seemingly contradictory. Respect for God's Word means explaining it properly and understanding each verse in its proper setting. Here to explain this idea further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Context.
Back in the 1970s, when I was growing up, a young boy of maybe 10 years old or so, there was a cultural phenomenon involving cars where individuals would take the VW bug. This was a rounded-looking car that it sort of looked like a beetle, and that's why it was given the name Bug. And they would take a hood from a certain Rolls-Royce vehicle, a large, majestic car that was very expensive, and they would stick it on the front of a VW Bug. It looked ridiculous, this very expensive, extravagant front end with a huge nose sticking out off of this tiny rounded car. It was completely out of place, and it was done just for the fun of it. If you have access to the internet, you may want to try to look it up just for fun. The reason I'm mentioning this is not because we're going to talk about cars. We're actually going to talk about Bible passages. We're going to discuss how we should treat the Bible. The proper way to treat the Bible is to take a verse in context. That is, to look at it and understand it in the setting in which the verse is found. If you simply rip the verse out of context or talk about it without understanding how it was delivered or said, it's sort of like taking that hood from the Rolls-Royce car and putting it on a VW bug. It's completely out of line. Many times when individuals are attempting to twist or distort the Word of God and get it to say things that it doesn't really intend, that it doesn't mean, they might take passages out of context. So one of the basic things that you want to learn about understanding the Bible properly is that whenever you encounter a verse or discussion of a Bible passage, you ideally want to think of it in how the original setting was as it was spoken or as it was written. That will help you to determine what the real intent of the passage is. Let me give you an example. There is a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah was a preacher, a prophet of the Lord, back at the time of what was called the Babylonian exile. This was when the Lord was disgusted, angry with the ancient Jewish people. They had not been following His will. They'd been idolatrous. They'd been immoral. They were focused on money and wealth, and they were neglecting the poor, the widows. They were very sexually immoral, idolatrous. And the Lord decided He had had about enough of that. So He sent the Babylonians, and He raised up the Babylonians to come and to lay siege to Jerusalem. They took away in three separate deportations a great number of the Jewish people. These were the leaders, the priests. They were carted off to Babylon, where they were put in exile. This lasted about 80 years or so. Now, the message in Jeremiah 29 is actually one of hope and comfort. The message to the leadership in Jerusalem at the time was condemnation, and that the leaders that were leading the people into idolatry and wickedness would be put to death. They would suffer. But the people that were taken away in exile would have the hope of returning home once again. And that's what Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is about. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Sometimes Christians quote these verses today, and they like to think as though God is saying these verses to them again today, that God has a plan for us, God has a hope and a future for us. Now, that may be true in a general sense, but that's not what the passage originally meant. The passage originally was spoken specifically to the Jewish people that were in captivity in ancient Babylon. God had a plan for them. God had a purpose for them. What was that plan and purpose? As we said, it was to free them, to bring them back to Jerusalem, to reestablish them in their homeland. Why would he do that? Well, the biggest reason is because God had promised that it was through the Jewish people that the world's Savior would come, that Jesus Christ, as we know him, would come to die on the cross, to carry our sins to the cross, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have salvation, and that we could live with God in eternity. And this is a promise for everyone. This is for all of you who are listening. This is for everyone that will give their heart and soul to God, to trust and love the Lord Jesus, can have that promise of salvation. It's as simple as committing yourself to him, asking forgiveness of your sins, asking the Lord God to receive you as his child, and to commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Now, the original passage here, if it was just generally used and lifted out of context by a person, even a well-meaning person today, who would say, well, God has plans for me, and God wants to give me a hope and a future because it says so in Jeremiah 29. Well, that would be a little bit like taking the Rolls-Royce hood of the car and putting it on the VW Bug. It would be lifting it out of context. You wouldn't get the full appreciation and meaning or the beauty of the whole setting in which it was first spoken. Now, there are passages which do tell us, and this is the great news today, is that God wasn't only telling the ancient Jews that he had plans for them, that he had a hope for them and a purpose, but he tells us that today we also have a purpose and a hope. Let me share another beautiful passage. This one was originally written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation in the New Testament. But the purpose of the book of Revelation is so that all those followers of Jesus who received this message would look for his return. After he rose from the dead, after being crucified, he ascended. He went into heaven and promised that he would return, so that all of his followers now await the return of Christ. And there is a beautiful promise in Revelation chapter 22. Now, it was first spoken to these Christians in the ancient churches that are mentioned in Revelation, but it extends to all of us. It's intended so that all believers in Jesus Christ will wait for him. It says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." We see here a beautiful discussion of the fact that Jesus Christ is eternal, that he is the Lord God. That is what these verses mean when he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Those were the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. In other words, from beginning to end. It would be the same as if someone referenced your alphabet. In the English, the alphabet would be like saying from A to Z, it covers it all. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. That's another way of indicating that he is divine, that he is God. This is what Christianity teaches, is that there are three persons in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is part of that Godhead. And he is promising in verse 12 of Revelation 22 that he is coming soon, that he will return again. This is what we as Christians hope for. This is what we long for. We know that when Christ returns, he will bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's what the New Testament promises. So we look at these verses from the Bible, and we want to remember that when we deal with Bible verses, we need to look at them in their context, how they were applied originally, and what they then can mean to us today. We see that Jeremiah had a beautiful promise of restoration to the exiles, and it was because God was keeping his promise to keep the ancient Jewish people intact until the Messiah, Jesus, came. We see the New Testament gives a beautiful promise to the seven churches in the Christian community, and that they were encouraged to look forward to the future return of Christ. We also await the return of Jesus. We have been given the promise of salvation in him. So use your Bible and remember to look at Bible passages in their context. There are so many beautiful things that God has said to his people, the most beautiful of which are the promises of forgiveness of sins, the love of God, the return of Jesus. So look forward to this. Practice listening to or reading the Bible and understanding it thoroughly so that you can be saved in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.